Hey, branding experts, Arek here. Welcome to On Branding Podcast. Today, my guest is Yoni Koźmiński. Yoni has an extensive experience in the e-commerce and Amazon ecosystems. Hello, Yoni. Thanks for joining us today.
Arek, it's a pleasure to be here. Excited to chat.
Let's start with a question related to what we do here, which is branding. How important is branding in the context of selling on Amazon?
So I would say historically, not that important. Back in the day, it was all just keyword research and finding where to look at. Today, if you actually want to compete on the platform, you have to build a brand. You have to stand out against Chinese competitors because otherwise it just becomes a race to the bottom. So I would say that brand is central to what marketplace selling 2.0 is in today's world.
Right. It hasn't always been like that. But nowadays, you would say that branding is important on Amazon, or if you're building your own e-commerce brand, the same rule applies, right? Branding is important. Let's assume there are people interested in starting their own brand on Amazon, or maybe they do have a brand. They try different platforms like Shopify, but they want to get on Amazon. What would you recommend? Maybe let's start off with common mistakes that they should avoid when launching their own brand on Amazon.
So the first common mistake, I would say, looking at what it looks like in 2024, is that e-commerce in general has become a more competitive landscape, and just the general cost and the cash conversion cycles that exist in a business like e-commerce is one where you really need to know what you're doing. When you talk about marketplaces, so I would say the first thing you need to do before you decide, should I or shouldn't I be on Amazon, is understanding what is the unit economics and is this something that I can be profitable doing, knowing that, unlike, you know, Shopify, where obviously the cost is how do you bring in the traffic and how do you actually start to drive value and, you know, and do all the work that you do, you actually have to give up quite a bit of that margin to Amazon because that's part of the value proposition, not to mention the paid media. So having appropriate margin is critical.
Right. So thinking about whether it makes sense selling those products that you are currently selling, do you have enough margin, right? That's the important question that you need to ask, because Amazon will take some of that margin. Any other common mistakes that people make? Maybe they go heavy on marketing, spend a lot of money on ads, but they have not built their brand just yet, meaning their page doesn't look as good or they don't have good reviews. So that marketing is not as effective. What do you think?
Yeah, plenty of other common mistakes that I would say people make, and ones that I've also been guilty of doing. You're not going to try and go after main keywords and rank against specific keywords that are generalist. Let's say gifting ideas is probably a really big keyword. There'd be a lot of traffic for it. But if you've got no reviews and you're playing in the niche of novelty ties, whatever it might be, then you need to find ways that you can grow your review, build a good standing before you can start to compete on page one with some of these bigger keywords. I would say that's definitely a common mistake. Another mistake is not allocating enough budget to paid media. It's a big part of how you actually grow on Amazon today, making sure that you aren't just coming in there and saying, well, people will just find me. It's a huge part of Amazon's revenue, contribution today. So it's something that you need to be aware of. When it comes to things like branding, the creative that you put in, having a really strong main image is going to be really important. Making sure that you really are standing out against your competitors and making sure visually that you're telling a story. So it's not just what's my main image and standing out. How am I actually capturing in each image, thinking through the psychology? What would my audience want to actually learn about the product? If sizing is critical, and that's something that is a common return, you know, reason for return. So making sure that you're really building the creative to stand out and align with the prospective customer that will stumble upon your listing.
Right. So best practices of branding would apply to Amazon as to other platforms. The creatives, the visuals, how you address your customers, perhaps you talk about their problems. You have a nice looking page with a relevant copy. You talk about your product in the context of, you know, how you can solve their problems or make their lives better or whatever the product does for them. You need to clearly communicate these benefits. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. It's exactly like I would say the big shift for marketplace and Amazon sellers is that whereas before you could get away with a lot less, today you need to build brand. For the last 2 years, a big statement that a lot of larger companies said is for you to not only survive but compete in 2024, 2025 and beyond, you have to build a brand that people are searching for.
Now it's very competitive, right? So it's not as easy to just build a brand on Amazon or with minimum effort, right? So you actually need to put in effort, find the right product, learn how to market that product in a different and unique and original way. Can you talk about perhaps your own experience? I know you've helped many brands get on or scale on Amazon, right? Can you talk about that?
So just to give a little bit of context to the listeners, I was part of an Amazon business when it was doing about $2 million in revenue and was able to scale it to $5 million when it was acquired about 12 months later. On the back of that experience, some of the things that worked for us in that journey was identifying really high caliber talent that was a fraction of the cost of local talent, namely in the Philippines. That was where our company Multiply Me was born. For a lot of these e-commerce and Amazon businesses, they had great ideas. They were product savants. They really understood what the market dictated and wanted, but where they were limited was their ability to actually build scale and build a company as opposed to being the central point inside of that business. So we have another company called Escala. And together, what we do is we understand the business operation. We look to reduce the operating costs. And then how we do that is by building out these standard operating procedures and processes and then plugging in high value, low cost talent. So all of a sudden, coming back to it, you know, factoring in getting on Amazon, if you can build a team that is able to deliver the work of someone that's US based or Australia based or any of the Western countries in the world, and you're able to build that efficiently, then it really gives you a competitive advantage. So I'd say in terms of helping companies, that's been the ability over the last 5 years that we've been able to impact, building clarity on those processes, helping them streamline them, and then plugging in really high value talent into those companies.
So at the beginning, when you're just starting from scratch, maybe you're by yourself, I mean, maybe you have a team, but eventually when you're ready to scale, as you mentioned, it's all about finding that talent and reducing the cost. You've experienced that yourself, and that's why you started your company, right? So basically your company now helps other brands optimize their operation and build the right team and find the right talent, right? For example, in Philippines, right? So you can operate more efficiently.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about building that remote team. I know it's really hard to find the right talent. I know from my own experience running an agency, a lot of people claim they can do things. Interviewing people takes a lot of time. Finding the right people takes a lot of time. It's just very costly. The hiring process is just extremely time consuming and it's costly because finding the right people is so hard nowadays. Can you talk to us about some of mistakes that people make at the beginning when trying to do it on their own and maybe some of the solutions you provide as a company to solve those problems?
Absolutely. When it comes to taking that step into whether you're ready to start hiring, I would say firstly is a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses in general, they don't actually value their time, or they don't actually identify that their time is one of the most valuable things inside of the business. And so in order to actually get out of working in your business and start working on it, you need to get clarity on what does the future state look like? What does 6 months down the line, 12 months down the line look like? And how you would start that process is saying, what are the things that you add the most value in? If I were to focus on two or three of these things at the start, it's impossible to just say one. But if I'm to focus just on a few of these things, what would that unlock for me? So I would say the first thing that you do is you look at how are you spending your time. And who could you bring in to help sort of supplement that time doing things that you are either not the best at or things that is quite easily delegatable to someone else in the team? So that's the first way that you would take that approach. And how you would go about that is you would say, right, let's identify or let's just assume that you are someone, you have a branding agency, so you're really good when it comes to creative, you have great vision, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, these are all critical tools in your skill set, but you're going to maybe be better off as someone who's bringing the brand strategy together or giving feedback and insights. What you would look to do in that case is you would say, I'm creating landing pages, websites, sales collateral, a whole host of different elements to help build out a brand, the voice, the tone of voice, everything that goes into building brand. Maybe what I'll do is I will look to say, right, if I can give someone the ability to focus on, I'll come up with a brand strategy, but now I need 50 assets created. I need 100 web pages, but I've built the framework. If I can then say my mission is, or success for this person is to make sure that once I've built an overarching strategy, they can run with the projects up to 80%, it might require a review. So I would say that's the first and most important step, defining where you want to be, who can supplement your skill sets and capabilities, and then what does success look like if you're to bring someone on.
So as we are talking about building a brand on Amazon, instead of doing all those little tactical things like getting reviews, working with influencers, sending them products for reviews, there's a lot of little things you need to do, like sending emails, communicating with them, creating visuals, working on your copy and running ads and building campaigns. Instead of doing everything, which will overwhelm you eventually, right? You should, as you suggested, think more strategically and try to identify where you are spending your time and how you can outsource that, who can do that for you, and how the success will look like. Can we talk about how to build those processes, how to identify those tasks, and then how to find the right people, you know, whether it is Philippines or any other low-income country that would make sense for us to build a remote team so we can cut cost and scale more effectively?
So I would say, one, it depends on sort of your business maturity and evolution. If you're someone who's looking to hire for the first time, it's going to be pretty different to someone who already has, let's say, an established company with 30 employees. Most of them are living sort of in the same office space. So I would say, depending on where you sit, will dictate how you approach it. So for the more junior person, if it's the first time you're hiring, what you do, like as a type of activity that you can run, is you can say, right, look at how you're spending every minute of your day. You know, put it in your calendar. I'm spending time on media buying. I'm spending time on, you know, brand development. I'm spending time on landing page creative, you know, working inside of Figma. Literally put down all the things that you're working through in a week and mark things that are need to be you as a five and things that could be delegated, like taking the InDesign file or Photoshop file into Figma and porting it over. It takes time, but it doesn't need to be you because it's pretty straightforward or whatever, uploading all the paid media components. You've built all the creative assets, but they can actually go and run the campaign and monitor it or whatever it looks like. So mark it all down. Things that are a five or a four, they stick with you. Things that are a one, two, or three, you look at building a roadmap on how you build a job description against that role with the mission. What does success look like in that role? The outcomes. So what would they need to achieve in order to be successful in the mission? And then the attributes. So what does that look like? So I'd say that's for like a very early stage business at a starting point. I would say once you start to get to more maturity and you're at this 30 person company, well, hopefully by that stage, you have real clarity on what the vision, mission, objective is, what each team member's accountabilities are inside of the business and how that's all working harmoniously together. At that point, if you are a little bit larger and there's a bit more of a team, I would say when it comes to process and building SOPs, there's no point of you building process for process sake when you're a one-man show and you don't have the opportunity to start delegating aspects out. You know, at the end of the day, even if you built out all the processes, who's going to take over them when you aren't working? There has to be a meaningful time that you start to build out these processes. And usually it's when you're going to bring someone on. You want to build a very clear recruitment process. You want to understand where you're going to source candidates from. You're going to want to understand the rounds of interviews, the types of questions that you're going to ask them, how you are going to build that very fluid process. But that expands the entire business. So going back to the larger company example, if you have a marketing function and sales function, and you have operations, and let's stay with e-commerce and inventory management and a marketplace management function in the business. So you're sort of going from product development, inventory and supply chain, how to market that product, so selling it on the Amazon platform, customer support. Those might be your four core functions. Starting to then go a layer deeper and starting to understand, okay, what's actually happening in those functions and who is doing what and what are the interactions? You build these process maps to get clarity on what's happening. And only once you have clarity and the business is running the way it should be, that's when you'd start to build things like adhesion against each of those deliverables inside of the team. Again, it's a tough topic to sort of go to the levels of depths that I'd like to without any visual aids, candidly.
Can you talk to us briefly, how do you help businesses build teams? How do you help in the hiring process?
For Multiply Me, how we effectively operate is that we'll get on a call with anyone looking to explore the idea of working with Filipino talent. On the call, we'll interview you. We'll look to understand where you're at, what will help build a job description. We'll help give you insights on the salaries and what they cost in the Philippines. You know, our first touch point is how do we just educate people on the possibilities and opportunities? And then on the back of that, assuming it looks good, then what we would do is we would actually give it to one of our 20 plus recruiters who would be dedicated to working with the clients. You know, we go down a process where we like to give a range of candidates. So we'll, for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on the complexity and competitive nature of the role, we'll present three candidates that we feel are a fit. The prospective client will get on interviews with each of them and provide feedback. We want to make sure that we get it right. So one, it's success-based. So it's only once someone's happy and we found the talent, would they actually pay us? Throughout this journey, we really want to not just stop there. It's not just about how do we help you find good talent, but how do we actually make sure that it's going to be sticky and that it's going to work? Obviously, there's challenges when we talk. It would be foolish to say that working with remote talent in a different geography is the exact same as working with someone who has the exact cultural norms that you have sat next to you. One of the things that we like to do is we built a framework on how to be effective on onboarding. How do you integrate someone into your company in a meaningful way that it's very clear? So we have a methodology that helps people become professionals at onboarding. We even have other solutions where we'll come and document the standard operating procedures for roles, helping people build out functions that make sense to build a remote function. I would say not every single role, but also not every single function is going to be perfectly set up to outsource and to work with a remote environment. So we like to help people understand what the possibilities are and, you know, managing expectations. We want it to work for people, not just we'll place anyone and off you go.
Yeah. So I invite you guys to check out Yoni's website as multiplyme.com. So you can learn more. You can reach out to Yoni personally. Maybe you have some questions. As Yoni mentioned, first step is to just educate you on what's possible and then figure out a plan how to work together. Thank you, Yoni. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was great to be here.